Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first, Mai, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio. Hope you've had a good Monday so far. We'll take you through the main news of the day in the next half hour, including that the fact that tomorrow in the House of Keys there'll be questions set to fly over the recent minimum wage increase. We're going to hear from an MHK raising the queries and also a local business owner who will share their perspective. Also tonight, the Chamber of Commerce is urging government to take a coordinated approach to economic change. But what does that really mean for businesses and workers? We'll explore the challenges facing the farming industry. And on a more personal note, the Bishop of Sodrum Man has expressed gratitude to the Manx public for their support following the death of her husband earlier this year. That's all to come before 5:30. We'll start, though, with a look at the main news headlines with Lewis Fastamai.
A meeting will take place this week to discuss the future of Cumall Moor, but the residential homes replacement is expected to be at least 2 to 3 years away. The Health Department will talk to stakeholders tomorrow. A suspected gas leak has led to the closure of a section of Parliament Street in Ramsey. The Department of Infrastructure has shut the road from today until the 14th of November, whilst Isle of Man Energy repairs and replaces a pipe. The Chamber of Commerce is urging government to take a coordinated approach to economic change. The body says attempts to strengthen the economy won't work if one area of government is making progress but leaving the rest behind. And it's hoped a former restaurant in Glen Helen, badly damaged by fire 5 years ago, will soon reopen as a farm shop selling only local Manx produce. The lease for the Swiss Chalet is to be signed by the Isle of Man Farm Shop Company today. The latest international news now. Police are looking into three further incidents seemingly linked to the suspect in Saturday's mass knife attack on a train. 32-year-old Anthony Williams from Peterborough has been charged with 11 counts of attempted murder over that stabbing and another attack hours earlier at a station in London. Cambridgeshire Police has referred itself to the IOPC watchdog. Avanti West Coast says there'll be big delays on its network over the coming days after one of its trains derailed. It's thought a landslide in Cumbria caused the front carriage of the service to come off the tracks. And campaigners have launched a legal challenge over plans for a second runway at Gatwick Airport. They argue the impact on climate change wasn't assessed properly before the project was given the go-ahead. Those are the headlines. We'll be back with the news at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed, Lewis. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. We do have that amber weather warning. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But essentially, cloudy this evening. There's going to be a few spells of rain or drizzle. Might be heavy at times, those strong and gusty south-southwest winds as well. Still a few outbreaks of rain overnight too as the wind begins to ease towards dawn and minimum temperatures will be around 12. Tomorrow again, outbreaks of rain or drizzle, a fresh to strong south-southwest wind that will gradually ease. Top temperatures tomorrow around 15. So that amber weather warning comes into force at 7:35, very precise, and it is until 11:35 this evening. And that's because of those strong winds which will create a rough sea with large waves combining with the high tide this evening. So moderate overtopping of seawater and debris is expected onto exposed coastal roads and promenades for a couple of hours. That's each side of high tide, which is at 9:35. As usual, the areas most likely to be affected, Shore Road in Rushen, Castletown Promenade, the northern end of Douglas Promenade, and to a lesser extent, Laxey and Ramsey Promenade. So do take care if you are planning to park in those areas. Probably not a good idea this evening.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
Cannells Agricultural Supplies have been serving the good folk of the North for over 30 years. Supplying homegrown wheats, whole and rolled oats, working clothing, fencing, animal feeds, parts, tools and emergency supplies. Call Julia on 880206 or find Cannells on Facebook.
Direct cremation is just that, An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 5 past 5. So the Treasury and Enterprise Ministers are going to face questions in the House of Keys tomorrow, all related to the recently approved increase in the minimum wage. Now, last month, you might remember, Tim Ward approved a rise in the hourly rate from £12.25 to £13.46, and that will take effect from the 1st of April. Onken MHK Julie Edge has a question for the Treasury Minister concerning a reduction in a VAT in an aspect of sector.
Certainly we did do one in COVID. However, we do have other options and opportunities that I feel we could do. But what I want to know from the Minister is, what is the process for doing that if we were to do it? We do it in construction, so we have done it, and I believe that's under the Value Added Tax Act 1996. So I'm just really exploring.
Now, your reason for, you know, mentioning the reduction of VAT, is this to help those businesses with the current economical challenges that they're facing?
Post-COVID, I don't genuinely believe that our economy has recovered as expected. As a parliament, we should be looking at what the impact has been and how we are going to support that sector. And, you know, there is options around this, but it'll be interesting to see what the Treasury Minister's view is of what process could be put in place. I do know they would have to go to the UK, I believe, for a reduction in any sectors, but there's other opportunities outside of that. But if there is opportunity to do it, we can govern ourselves in many areas. And I think these are areas that we should be looking at. The significance of this is we need to have a full understanding of what any costs to this would be and whether there is other options around it rather than straight away looking at VAT. You know, is there other options around employers' NI changes and things like that that could support our economy just on a short-term basis to make sure that we are moving to the wage limits that some members in Tim Ward are looking for. But we can't be doing that irresponsibly. We've got to look at every aspect of what the impact is going to be.
That is the Onken MHK Julie Edge, who's talking to Chanel there. Now, the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, has agreed to speak with us to respond to the concerns raised by Ms. Edge, but he's going to do that after her questions in the Keys Chamber. So we'll bring you that as soon as we have it. Meanwhile, the owner of a pub on Douglas Promenade says some business owners are scared following that approval of the increase in the minimum wage. A meeting has been organised by the newly formed Local Economy Forum to talk about the rise in that hourly rate. Andy Saunders from the Original Quids Inn says he, like others in the hospitality sector, had already made cutbacks before that new rate was announced.
Everybody has struggled very hard going back to the pandemic, energy crisis, cost of living crisis, all of that. And small businesses are struggling and have been struggling for a long time now, as we've seen with multiple closures across the island. It's time that the government really takes some portion of the weight of trying to lift people out of poverty. And that's all we're asking for. We're not asking you to keep the minimum wage down. The minimum wage should go up, but the minimum wage should go up alongside tax thresholds, national insurance allowances and everything else so that we can really lift people out of poverty rather than just driving small businesses to the wall. There's no preparing for a rise when there's no income. Everybody's struggling for money in the pockets. Small businesses are having less and less footfall. There's no preparation for it. What can we prepare for? We can either put our prices up and have less footfall and more businesses close, or we can try and streamline. But we've been spending 5 years streamlining already. There's nothing left. How can we prep for this? How can we prep? We can either put the prices up and drive customers away. You ran an article a year ago about me cutting my hours and Quids Inn. That's something that I would never have liked to do, but I've had to do it because I have to make savings. And most of the businesses on the Isle of Man have streamlined staffing levels. They're streamlining their hours. They've done everything already. So it's time that the government actually takes an active stand.
Is there anything you can tell us about that meeting on the 10th of November at this stage?
Yeah, that's not my meeting as such. The LVA have been very much involved in helping organise it. But there is a meeting and it's open to all Isle of Man businesses who are struggling at the moment. If the Isle of Man government are putting too much pressure on your business and putting you under threat of survival, we would ask you to come along. We're going to have MHKs and hopefully Comin people there. And we would ask everybody to come on and let's give the Isle of Man government a real oversight of where they're putting their small businesses and their citizens under so much pressure. My wife has spent most of today under extreme stress and worried about our business because of the pressures that the Isle of Man government are putting on.
That's Andy Saunders from the original Quids Inn talking to Lewis. That meeting on the 10th of November, find out more details on the Manx Radio website. And as we say, we'll have the other side to that following Key's questions tomorrow. Just gone 10 past five. Well, there'll be another meeting taking place this week to discuss the future of Cummell Moor. But the residential homes replacement is expected to be at least 2 or 3 years away. The Health Minister, Claire Christian, has published an update on the project following a series of Tim Ward written questions from Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper, as Sean Cowper reports.
Minister Christian has reiterated that Cummell Moor will remain operational until a replacement is commissioned and ready, which will take a minimum of 2 to 3 years, subject to agreed service delivery model, funding and construction. She confirmed urgent remedial work is needed, though, to tackle fire safety risks, health and safety concerns and infection prevention control. Reactive maintenance costs over the next 18 months are expected to cost £1.5 to £2 million, on top of annual running costs of £1 million. The minister acknowledged in her responses that there have been no formal updates issued in recent months and apologised for the absence of clear communication to date. She says resource constraints within her department have affected progress, but the Department of Health and Social Care now has a capital steering group, which will have its first meeting in early November. Officers from DHSC and Manx Care have recently met to discuss Cummell Moor, with what Minister Christian describes as a clear endorsement from the department's political leadership to advance the project. She confirmed the next milestone will be a stakeholder meeting taking place this week on Tuesday the 4th of November to determine the intended purpose of the Cummell Moor site, adding that the department remains committed to progressing the scheme and will provide a full update to the public in the coming days.
Sean Cowper reporting again. More details on the Manx Radio website. It's coming up to 12 minutes past five, and the Bishop of Soda and Man has thanked the Manx public for their love and support following the death of her husband earlier this year. Tricia Hillis has been talking to our Judith Lay about her journey through grief after losing her husband Andrew following a short period of illness in June. Judith first asked Bishop Tricia why she wanted to share her story.
I think for all of us, going through grief can feel very isolating. It can feel that we're battling alone. And so I really wanted to be able to voice some of the things we sometimes find hard to say. And yet the irony is nearly all of us will go through a similar situation. So I wanted to make sure that this was a public conversation, that others who right now or maybe in the future will be going through similar things or might have recently will know that our journeys are seen, that they're important. And the other reason is that actually so many people across the island have been so kind from the point of Andrew's first diagnosis. You know, the cards, the letters, the flowers, the assurance of prayers and the kindness, the food that was brought for Andrew and for me. And it's just been an enveloping cloud of love, really, from so many people. And I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you.
Everybody's grief journey is individual and very personal. What has helped you to get through each day?
I do agree. Everyone's journey is different. And actually, I don't think any one journey has only one direction. So my own journey, you know, it's been a roller coaster and it still is in many ways. But for me, there have been elements of sheer determined getting on with some of what I've been describing to people as the death admin. As anyone who's had to sort out the affairs of someone who's died knows, that can be really tricky. Some organisations have been absolutely brilliant and others have been distinctly less so. And that's really sad. And I'd love to encourage those who have the ability to help shape the response of bureaucracies and organisations, who have the ability to shape it for good and compassion, to do that.
That is Bishop Tricia Hillis, who is talking to Judith Lay there. A really poignant interview, and you can hear much more between Bishop Tricia and Judith on the latest At Your Service podcast, again, available now at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So the main thing to look out for in the north is in Ramsey. Parliament Street, as we heard in the news, is closed between Parliament Square and West Street. That's because of a suspected gas leak. So traffic is still able to access the remainder of Parliament Street. That's via West Street, Christian Street and Tower Street. There are diversions in place. Again in Ramsey for the next 2 weeks, temporary lights on Lazare Road. That's between Bircham Avenue and Parliament Square for service connection work. The length of that time in the closure is in place just before they find out how long it takes to find the location of the issues that they're looking for, but pedestrian access all around that area is being maintained. Everything else is the usual traffic and lights and everything that we've been used to over the past few weeks. All okay down at the airport. The latest from the steam packet, the Manxman is due into Douglas at around about 5:45, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's just coming up to 16 minutes past five. Well, the Chamber of Commerce is urging government to take a coordinated approach to economic change. Now, the body says attempts to strengthen the economy won't work if one area of government is making progress but leaving the rest behind. And the Chamber warns a lot has happened globally and technologically, that's easy for me to say, since government published its economic strategy in 2022. Its President Claire Watterson has been talking to Phil Gorn.
It's the delivery of the strategy. The strategy is now coming up to, I think it's 4 years old. It was very forward-thinking when it came out. There's been a lot of change in those 4 years, globally, technologically, and we need to have that built into any strategy that is forward-thinking and that we are going to bring in to solve these problems. It's looking at how that strategy has moved forward, who is taking ownership, who is collaborating with that strategy. It's having one person overseeing everything to make sure that each of the departments are moving forward in the same trajectory, that you're not working in the siloed, historically siloed systems.
And when you say one person, you mean one person in government, I presume?
It's the government strategy. Yeah. They need to have somebody who takes ownership of this document. And there, as I've just said, there has been a significant amount of change since that strategy came out. It will likely look rather different now as these areas are re-examined, but it needs to be a coordinated effort. It's not going to work if one area of government is moving forward and leaving the rest behind. This is a whole island economy and infrastructure change that is needed to drive the Isle of Man economy forward and springboard into what good looks like for the Isle of Man for the future.
That's President of the Chamber of Commerce, Claire Watterson, talking to Phil. Again, we have invited the Isle of Man government to respond, so if we hear back, we will bring you that response as soon as we have it. It's coming up to 18 minutes past five, and a farmer who's been visiting the Isle of Man to discuss the challenges of succession planning in the agricultural sector says it really saddens him to see young farmers being encouraged to seek work in other areas. Rhys Williams, who runs a farm in Wales, has been talking to Manx farmers as part of the Agriculture Department's Autumn and Winter Events Programme. And he told Kiri Kermode that the industry needs enthusiasm and the energy of young farmers, but admits it can be a tough job mentally.
We in the Western Civic have a board, and it's actually working very well.
Well, that clearly was not the farmer that we were going to hear from, but we will hear from him in just a moment.
It's accepting, really. It's building a system that it's not dependent on those factors, you know, not needing to have sort of a good year with prices to be profitable, not needing to sort of have to be fertiliser prices to be at a certain level or for feed prices to be at a certain level. So it's about managing yourself, really, and it does help when you sort of explain that to yourself from a mental health point of view, and when you it's just a mindset, really.
And how do you see young people's future in agriculture?
There's definitely opportunities. It saddens me to see maybe a generation of people think sort of advising young farmers to go out and find other work and find another trade or go elsewhere for work when there is industry here needing that energy and enthusiasm that youngsters would bring. The way I look at it, there are opportunities out there if you're prepared to look for them, first of all, and if you're prepared to think outside the box. And really, you know, we're very fortunate in the way that, managed correctly, I'm very confident that we can make a living out of farming. You know, if it's if we really look at the numbers, if we really make business decisions, if we really work and also work with the natural resources that we've got, there is potential there, and I'm very confident that we've got the talent and we've got the resources here to produce healthy, nutritious food economically that will benefit everybody.
That is Rhys Williams, who runs that farm in Wales. You can hear more from him on the latest edition of Countryside that's available now as a podcast at manxradio.com. 20 past five, why isn't the reuse shed at the Western Civic Amenity site open? Well, the Michael District Commissioner, Carol Lillywhite, discussed the facility during last week's Legislative Council hearing on the Local Government Amendment Bill. She says it's not something the board that runs the site is required to provide.
We, in the Western Civic, have a board, and it's actually working very well. We've managed to turn it around with cooperation. The weakness is the standing orders of that board. I believe that we need strength in terms of training, in terms of how to manage HR and manage a board. That's our weakness, but we are turning it around, and it's actually becoming a very positive atmosphere there. So I think I agree with the legislation in terms of strengthening the board's experience and training, definite training for local authorities, which is very weak throughout, I think. Having a pop-up come up every year for newcomers just isn't enough. It needs to be stronger than that. But it does work. There is cooperation, and I do believe that where people complain that they're not getting services, it could be they don't understand why. For example, a lot of people are complaining that there aren't any of these garages. I don't know where there's recycling garages. Well, we're not obliged to have them as part of the Western Civic. So we're having to explain to people they are closed because of various reasons, but we're not obliged to have them. And I think people misunderstand what our provisions are.
That's the Michael District Commissioner, Carol Lillywhite. Well, FC Isle of Man's interim manager says the club's players have adapted well since he took charge of the side. Rick Holden was appointed in September, as you might remember, following the departure of Paul Jones. Well, since then, the Ravens have picked up 8 points from 6 matches and are unbeaten in their last 4 outings. He's been talking to Sean.
We've altered training and training times so that they're more comfortable with the general sort of strain on life that way. We've gone for a more attacking, forward-based style, which demands a lot of energy, so the fitness has improved as well with that. Not fitness per se, but fitness to do that actual style. So that's changed. And with that, confidence boosting, you know, you get into the players and concentrate on the things they are good at, not worry about the things they're not too good at to start with, and sort of put positive thoughts in them. And, of course, wins and draws create the confidence, and hopefully it's gives them the belief then that they can go on and get better results.
How would you say the team has been adapting since you took charge?
Very well. I mean, I've not introduced rugby union to them. I mean, we are doing things that they're aware of, and they're enjoying it. So you can see there's training, they're smiling, they're happy, and good banter around the place. They're getting used to my humour as well, which is from a different eon. I like to make happy camps, and so they've adapted well to it, you know.
You've been in charge for a few matches in this league now. What have you made of the standards in the division so far?
Well, it's not a lot different to the top Manx games, to be honest. They've got a lot of players that you can obviously see have come from academy football, from professional clubs, so they're comfortable on the AstroTurf-type surfaces and knock it about a bit. But to be honest, the interpretation of the game is far different on contact than the local leagues and indeed professional football, which I've obviously been involved in a lot.
That's Rick Holden, who's talking to Sean there. We're going to stay with sport now. Good evening to Darren Timpson.
Good evening. And starting with some motorsport news, the Ulster Grand Prix International Road Race could return in 2027. Organisers are to receive a boost in funding, which could see the GP remain on the calendar for multiple years. Multi-year funding in the region of £400,000 will be provided to the Motorcycle Union of Ireland from the Northern Ireland Executive. Ulster is one of the big three international races alongside the Isle of Man TT and Northwest 200. It hasn't taken place since 2019 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and financial issues leading to a 6-year absence. In netball, the Isle of Man team have been beaten for a second time in Singapore, this time by the narrowest of margins. Manx Rams lost 38-39 to Singapore A today in what was a closely fought affair in the Single Life Nations Cup. Yesterday, they were defeated heavily by the hosts in the opening round. The Isle of Man side will be back in action tomorrow as they look for their first win of the tournament against Papua New Guinea. On to football, and Canada Life Premier League leaders Corinthians maintained their unbeaten run on Saturday. They beat Ayr by 5-1, with 3 of those coming from the penalty spot. Meanwhile, Peel beat Onken 2-0, and St Mary's put 5 past Braddon. In the Arden and Drogon Division 2, there were 2 big wins for Moran and Douglas Royal. Moran beat Douglas and District 8-1, while Governors lost 7-3 to Royals. In the Canada Life Women's League, Corinthians thrashed Douglas Royal in the Battle of Fletcher Derby. The Whites won by 9-2. While Onken beat Maloo 3-2. In rugby, Ramsey have progressed to the Cheshire Bowl final. They beat Southern Nomads 43-26 in the semi-final. And in hockey, Backers Ayr closing in on the mixed Premier League title. They're within striking distance after a 7th win in a row, this time beating Vikings A 6-1. And Castletown Celts won the Southern Derby on Saturday. They beat Castletown Southerners 9-1.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. As ever, you can find all the very latest sports news on the Manx Radio website, and we've also got our sports page on Facebook as well. But that is all from Update this evening. Coming up next, it's Agenda with Phil Gawne. And on the programme tonight, he'll be discussing the government's transport strategy, which was just noted by Tim Wood last month, not supported. So he's asking, where does it leave it, and why use one of the highest years of emissions as the baseline for future reductions? Phil asks if we're ignoring past successes and letting targets go up in smoke. So tune in for Agenda to find out if our transport strategy here on the island really is on the road to nowhere. After that, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley, Time for Brass with Ian Cottier, and then Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.